Our epistle for this first Sunday in Lent is taken from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. Brethren, we entreat you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard thee, and in the day of salvation I have helped thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense to anyone that our ministry may not be blamed. On the contrary, let us conduct ourselves in all circumstances as God's ministers, in much patience, in tribulations, in hardships, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleepless nights, in fastings, in innocence, in knowledge, in longsuffering, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in unaffected love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, with the armor of justice on the right hand and on the left, in honor and dishonor, in evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet truthful, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised but not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet enriching many, as having nothing yet possessing all things. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. At that time, Jesus was led into the desert by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, If thou art the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Not by bread alone does man live, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, If thou art the Son of God, throw thyself down, for it is written, He has given his angels charge concerning thee, and upon thy hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written further, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, Begone, Satan, for it is written, The Lord thy God shalt thou worship, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Thus far the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, usually during Lent, we take a series that we use to meditate on and think about. This year, I think we'll just stick to the Sorrowful Mysteries of the Rosary for our meditation. Very easily, we can collaborate the first Sorrowful Mystery with the gospel given to us today. The devil comes and tempts our Lord three times. Just like the three times there was that test in the garden. First temptation has to deal with appetite, the concupiscence. The next, the mind. And the next, test the want and will. Because we have a fallen human nature, we are always given victim to the temptations according to the appetites. It's only by God and His grace that we're able to regulate properly. If we don't allow God's grace to reign within us, then what do we have? Gluttony, drunkenness, lust, etc. The first test of our Lord in the garden was the sight of the sufferings he was to undergo the following day, how he would be physically treated. And of course, he was willing to do that because of the love he has for us. and primarily the love that he has for his Father, I've come to do the will of him who sent me. Man needed redemption. The second temptation in the garden had to do with pride. Just like the second temptation in the desert dealt with pride. The devil took our Lord up, or to the holy city, took him, placed him on the top of the pinnacle of the temple, and says, "Cast yourself down, make yourself a spectacle, let people see how great you are." It says in Scripture that the angels of God will bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. You want to get people's attention? You want them to listen to your gospel? Do this. This will catch their attention. They'll listen to you. A shortcut from the cross. In the garden, this is when our Lord, second time, he goes back and prays, has placed on his shoulders every sin that has ever been committed, from Adam and Eve to every sin you and I have committed to every sin that will be committed, placed on his shoulders. And in order for us to understand what sin is pride. Every sin is rooted in that sin of pride, because it's putting self-will before God's will. Taking shortcuts starts in the mind. Now, it's important here, just because you have a temptation that comes to your mind doesn't mean that you're horrible or evil. It means you're human. It's what you deal with that temptation. If you hold on to it, if you act upon it, if you give in to it, okay, now we have culpability. But a choice must be made. But you will be tested. Christ himself was tested. And the third has to deal with wanton will. What is it that our Lord wanted? The salvation of all mankind. So the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and says, "I'll give it all to you. All you need to do is bow down and worship me. You don't even need to believe it." It's nothing new. It's happened over and over again in history. A justification. In the early Christians, in the time of the early Christians, it was the Caesars and their governors who brought people in who proclaimed to believe in Christ and says, "Just put a few grains of incense on the charcoal before the statue and you're fine. You don't even need to believe it." Those saints would not. Because you see, that's how the devil operates, just to get us to justify a little bit. And then we allow his influence to come into our lives, and then we wonder why we don't have peace of soul. We wonder why we're miserable. We wonder why there's darkness in our day, or anxiety, or discouragement. All those are byproducts of that loser, the devil, because that's all he has to offer. Oh, he can appear as an angel of light, and he can definitely offer us what looks to be appealing and good, but it never is. In the garden, this is what caused our Lord to sweat blood. When man allows darkness to govern his day, man has spiritual death. What is spiritual death? Spiritual death is when man is not connected with God, but distant from God. It all comes down to the will. Nobody can decide that for you but you. God made his decision. He wants to be one with you. He has showed you the way for this to happen. Whether or not we accept that way, well, that's up to our free will. But Christ, in order to take upon himself all our sufferings in the garden, his divinity becomes silent. He experiences what it is for spiritual death to be had. So horrible is it for him that he sweats blood. When we die, if we are not in the state of grace, It's eternal death. But that's not God's choice, that's our choice. And we can try to justify and get as many people as we want to agree with what we want to think or what we want to believe or what we want to know. But the truth is the truth, and we either embrace the truth or we don't. Will. We choose. Now, there are ways for us to make sure that we are on the right course. We have to make the effort. Just like to be physically strong, we need to do exercise. We need to abstain from things. We need to rely on other things than just ourselves. If we rely on ourselves, I'm going to get strong, we just sit there on the couch. But we don't go eat properly, exercise properly, follow what our doctors or healthcare agents tell us. Well, how can we hope to make progress? In the gospel today, we are given these solutions if you read carefully. Not by bread alone does man live, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Spiritual reading. When was the last time you picked up your Bible and read the Gospels? I'm not talking about just what you hear at church. Why is it that our Bible, if we have one at home, is usually a dust collector? We don't open it up and say, no, that's the Word of God. I need to make sure I know it. As Catholics, we say that Scripture is the written Word of God, collaborating with tradition, sacred tradition, things that are handed down, and this is the truth that has been revealed to us. In this day and age, we live in a society where we're trying to make truth subjective. Truth isn't subjective. That's high foolishness. Truth is God, and God is truth. For us to know God, we have to let Him communicate with us. And He has communicated with us, but we have to read those communiques. Spiritual reading. Scripture. When we read Scripture, we must read it according to how Holy Mother the Church interprets it. Too many people take a line from Holy Scripture, and they find their own religion, or they justify something else because they misunderstand it. Yeah, it takes a little bit of work, but you know what? It's worth it, especially when you comprehend and understand the eternal ramifications that are at hand. We have a soul to save, and it's only saved by being on one course, following Christ, denying self, taking up our cross to follow Christ. The second has to deal with attitude. When I teach at school, I teach attitude is a choice. And a good attitude is a good choice. It's not a feeling. It's a choice. Do we have a good attitude towards Christ? In the second temptation that we read of in the gospel, it says the devil is saying, cast yourself down. It's written in Scripture. The angels will bear thee up, lest I dash thy foot against a stone. And our Lord says, it is written further, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. How many of us tempt the Lord by our presumption? I'll do it later. I mean, I can always go to confession later. I can always start living my faith later. What fools are we to guarantee ourselves another minute? No, now, like St. Paul says in today's epistle, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So we trust, not tempt Christ. We trust Him. I believe in all that Christ has revealed and in His way because He has revealed it and He has showed it. Need I learn it better? Yes, it's okay. It takes patience. And the third, I guess, can be summed up in something that I read. I tried to find who stated this quote. So where I read it, it just said, a person said once. But it makes perfect sense. It says, I'll just read it to you. Somebody said, your religion is whatever you're most interested in. Well, what are you most interested in? That's your religion. And your God is what you will sacrifice everything else to. What is it in your case? Comfort of your body? Promotion? Popularity among your acquaintances? You can have these if you will fall down and adore them. But you were not made for these gods. God made you for himself. He thou shalt adore, and him alone shalt thou serve. So when we consider the whole concept of temptation, don't be discouraged by it. It's part of life. It's part of the test. It's a test of our love for God. But make sure you're doing what you need to do to pass the test. The test will be over soon, and sooner than we know. And then the eternity that we picked will be the result. And one last thought that we read of in Scripture, or we're reminded of in today's Scripture, I should say, the very last line of the Gospel, where it says, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. We are reminded today about our guardian angel, a doctrine revealed to us by Christ himself. Your guardian angel. Now just imagine, if you really believe what Christ said, then here in church today with each and every one of us is our guardian angel. Not to mention the innumerable amount of angels that are here adoring Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. But you have a guardian angel. How many times have you spoken to your guardian angel? Did you remember him today? How about in the last week? Or how many of this is just a fairy tale? It's not something that we really pay attention to, unless we want to put it up for some Christmas ornamentation. No, this is gospel truth. You have a guardian angel. Now, there are people who mess around with the demonic and the things of the devil. They open themselves up to the influence of the devil. And because they open themselves up to the influence of the devil, they have the result of that evil influence. And you don't need to open yourself up very much to the demonic influence, because you open up a crack and he makes his way in there. Whether or not you open yourself up to the demonic influence, well, that's up to you. But if that is said of the demonic, whether it be the movies you watch, the music you listen to, the people you associate with, the things you do, whatever. I mean, you can go play a game and it has something to do with the demonic, and that can have that influence. Or you can go right down into the occult and witchcraft. But if that can be said where it concerns the demonic, then what about the angelic? If we opened ourselves up to the influence of the angelic, how empowered we would be. We are taught as young children, to pray to our angels. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commenced me here, ever this day be at my side, to light, to guard, to rule, to guide. You want to fight the enemy and you want to win? You have everything at your disposal to win. By yourself, you can't win. But our Heavenly Father has given us an angel to battle for us, if we allow them to. A champion of our own. Let alone not just our guardian angel, but our Blessed Mother and the saints. But here, I think it's important for us, especially as we start off Lent, to pay attention to the angels, because it does come up here the very first Sunday of Lent, and it does come up again on Holy Thursday when our Lord's in the garden. Because an angel came and ministered to him after he was tempted by the devil in the desert, and an angel came to him in the garden too. I think significant. In this day and age, we need all the help we can get. So, as we continue with our Lenten season, let us consider these things. Let us not be discouraged by the darkness or the tricks and traps of the loser, even if we've been prey to them or if we've fallen prey to them. But let us open ourselves up to the way of Christ, to His Word, and His gifts, and make sure that we're making good use of this day of grace, of this day of salvation. Because now is the acceptable time. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Confessions will be heard.